Welcome to Reflections. After the pause, your host Jorge Gonzalez, and I have been discussing this Time Magazine article titled "The Best Years of Your Life Are Probably Still Ahead." A very positive, outlook. I'm going to shortly discuss my experience as I went through these different stages of it. But basically, he's just saying that the emotional balance that we acquire little by little as we go forward after our university college years is really critical for our well-being. And I love the way she said she's kind of summarizes it. Yes, and in many ways, it's the best time in life, the older years. Emotionally speaking, it's the best time in life. Now, let me be clear. There's a lot not to like about aging. Physically, it sucks. It's not a good story. But the emotional one is, there's not a perfect stage in life. There's always trade-offs. When you're young and miserable, you're also at your physical peak, and that's wonderful. Having a limitless future is exciting, too. Older people don't have that, but they do have a sense of focus on what matters in their life. And then she describes they're more satisfied with their relationships and more at peace with themselves. And as we get older, we stop caring so much about these trivial matters that can drive us crazy at earlier stages of life. Plus, in terms of cognitive processing, we tend to literally see, hear, and remember positive information more than negative information. So a really uplifting article and explaining that the process of feeling better as you get older. And then she describes a couple of paragraphs of some of the challenges that we probably aren't addressing as much as we should with the financial situation where, instead of lasting till 80 or 85, now not many at 90, and quite a few at 100, and it's going to get higher. So that's a challenge, and a challenge in terms of dealing with many generations living at the same time, and the passage of our wealth to the young and to others. Warren Buffett of Hathaway Berkshire is announced that he's stepping down as a CEO. Will continue active on the board, but he's quietly transitioning out of Berkshire. But 95, 96, and still very productive, and I very grateful and giving a lot of his wealth to others. And one of the things, a very humble person, stayed in Omaha, lives in the same house with the same car he's had about 20 years, and thinks it's been really important to stay where his roots were, and thinks that that's been really important for his success. So, that goes along a good example of somebody that has been very productive and has it all together, from everything we've seen, the Warren Buffett. So where I wanted to do is then go into my experience. It kind of goes. I gave a talk it was on April 17, 2021 in San Juan Rotary, and it was on unsuccessful aging. I remember there was an article or a TED Talk, I think it was, on longevity and how longevity was achieved. Frank Earl was the president of San Juan Rotary. I said, well, longevity is important, but, if we don't, have quality of life, and if our physical situation, deteriorates for many years, that's not a great thing. Longevity is not that great. And I started thinking about that and reading about it, and based on my experience in the past, and I had read some books on it. So I put together a talk, and And that's where I developed my definition of well-being or happiness or success that you listeners who have been with me now for more than 4 years have heard so often. You know, it's living our personal values, and each one of us have different values and our priorities are different. But if we live our personal values, we strive to keep with our personal values, we will have a sense of self-satisfaction, and we will be at peace with ourselves. And that's where I came up with this definition, which I gave to my fellow Rotarians. And you know, I also came up there with the mantra based on an anthropologist back in the 60s, a guy Montesquieu, and he says that the idea is to die young as late as possible. The essence of the talk was that we really age from the moment we're born, and you know, there's just continuous transitions through. And frankly, at the end, for me, you know, death is just one more transition in life. And so based on that, I had you know, some experiences with books and all, which I want to sort of now go into and recommend some of them. They're very, very relevant to this article that came out in Time magazine. Which kind of puts a little bit of a wrinkle in the way how well-being takes place. It's this better emotional balance, and so you know, let's go to my experience. You know, first of all, I have felt that my earlier years and all of them were always good. I mean, but I never looked back and said, "Boy, you know, when I was at Saranac Lake between, you know, 8 and 13 years old, those were incredible. Better the best days or then when I was in prep school or whether it was in college or you know, getting married in the first years, they were all good. They were all good. Now, thank God, and I repeat again, thank God." They were all good, but they all had challenges at the same time. And you know, you do have days and months and things that happen that are extremely uplifting them better. And you did have moments, you know, 3, 4, 6 months, a year, where you know there were some challenges. But overall, there were balances, and overall, they were positive, and that's been my outlook. Throughout, and I hope, you know, as we go forward, God willing, the same thing will continue in the future, that the overall balance will be positive. So that's the first point. Then around the late 30s, I did have clearly a moment of anxiety, because no matter what profession or where you're at, there's this always this issue or this question is, when are you no longer a young lawyer or a young accountant or a young business executive or singer or what have you? And you're always, you know, wondering, especially the way, as this article says, you know, the best years are the young years. So you're kind of a little bit anxious that then you're no longer young and it's going to be downhill. It's going to, you know, you're going to suffer from then on. So I had this in the late 30s, this anxiety. When was I no longer to be a young lawyer and anxiety of, you know, as to the future, whether, you know, what it had to store based on understanding we have that youth is where people are the most happy, and that's where, you know, and of course there's also like most things in life. On the one hand, you kind of enjoy being a young lawyer. That's kind of good, you know, But on the other hand, you also want people to no longer consider you a young lawyer, but now a mature, you know, and moving on to senior kind of status, both in the relationships and the way that you have with clients and your position in the law firm, etc. So it's always, you know, a moment, things in transition and always balances, etc. But late in the 30s, I received a notification from the American Bar Association, and it says, you know, that you no longer qualify for the Young Lawyers Division, and you know, choose some other areas of interest as part of your American Bar Association membership. And okay, that hit me right between the eyes, at least for the American Bar Association. I think it was 37 or 38. Now, I imagine it should be now 5 or 6 years older, but at that time, that's what it was. And you know, there at least was one concrete signal that I was no longer a young lawyer. And then, but there was a little anxiety. And there were two books that one I had read a few years earlier, and the other one about more or less at that time, that were really significant and helpful. One was Type A Behavior and Your Heart by Friedman and Rosenman. It was a 1974 book, and the essence of it was that highly competitive and aggressive persons and attitude. Namely, Type A, were not good attitudes and way of being for your heart and for your life. Well, now looking back, for your well-being, right? And I am a Type A personality, always trying to get more things in than I should. And relatively competitive and can be aggressive, and I have to control that. Often I'm not able to, but I am. So I realize that you have to spend, you know, take life a little more at ease and enjoy nature and take time off and don't be worried about enjoying things and not piling responsibilities on yourself. And I laugh at it. I keep on having too much, and I just have to laugh about it because I haven't really been able to correct that to the extent I wanted. The other book was Passages by Gail Sheely, Sheely. That's a 1976 book, and she goes through different phases that males have and females have, and what are the principal areas of priority and what was important and where were the areas of concern, you know, in these different stages in your life. And what was really positive and uplifting was her finding that in the mid-60s, she found, based on studies and interviews and all, that people were most satisfied, were more comfortable with their life than at any moment before. And so that was really, you know, positive. There I was around 40, and somebody in this book was telling me, you know, I have something that's going to be better, you know, going forward. And that jibes. That's completely consistent with this article I just finished explaining and describing. And so there was another. She put a, you know, new passages in the mid 90s, and it basically reconfirmed that finding. It pushed out, you know, the years into the 70s, where, you know, because of life expectancy has increased. So that was, you know, in that moment of anxiety, really two important books. And then in the early 60s, you know, now I'm arriving, you know, where things were, I'm supposed to be feeling better and all, and, you know, nothing to contradict that. But in a presentation on 401k and IRA by investment banking person to us in the law firm. This person mentioned that if we were in relatively good health at 65, that we had at least 20 good years of life ahead of us. And that kind of, you know, that's another kind of a jolt. Here I had spent more or less 20 years in the law firm, and you know, I had spent 40 years in the law firm, and I had another 20 years to you know of good life and you know ahead of me, and that's a lot of time, you know, when I compared to where my professional life had been, and but I looked at it as positive, but then put it into perspective as to what I had to do, you know, with respect to that. So that was a book one of the books I most recommend. That how to then make sure that that quality of life extension of time is handled is really important, and the book is called Younger Next Year, Live Strong, Fit, and Sexy Until You're 80 and Beyond. It's by Crowley and Lodge, and it's a 2007 book. And basically, it says that in essence, that if you exercise and you eat nutritionally, and you lead a life of commitment, which I'll describe after the pause, you will not only extend your life, and it's about 7, 8, 10 years, but your quality of life will improve and remain relatively stable. And that was the book that I'm going to describe a little bit more, and I mentioned it before, but I really recommend you reading. And every time I look at it, there's new nuggets of advice that I find very important. So we've run out of time in the second segment. This is Jorge Gonzalez, your host for Reflections. We'll be right back after the pause. Mm-hmm.